Beast in the Buff.
In the Buff.
Hi, you guys.
How's everyone?
I need a buff from here. How are you?
I'm Max Blowers.
Max Blowers, the host of In the Buff.
Yes.
Well, I don't want people to be confused because, I know I've said it before, but I have to give it up to you again. You have been putting in so much work to this podcast. I'm so impressed.
Oh, honey.
Every week I listen, your production skills are amazing.
I'm working on it.
Oh my god, and all the posts you've been doing to social media, really, I appreciate it so much. So I love being a part of this, but everyone needs to know that Maxie is the host here, and I'm just along for the ride.
You're my side piece.
I'll be the face. Yeah, I'm your side piece. Shh, don't tell Jesus, don't tell him. All right.
I would never. Hope you had a fabulous Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, Mame.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
All right, let's get to it. Today, we've got all kinds of fun stuff to talk about. The Met Gala was last week. And I'm
gorgeous. Yeah, no.
We'll see.
Really?
Well, there was some good stuff, but we'll get to it. Right. Jay-Z is working on a new album.
Well, it's a rebuttal.
Supposedly a rebuttal.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But first, we have to make some cocktails. And
let's do it.
We've got a fun drink today, so inspired by one of our listeners. I'm so excited.
I love it. People listen to us. They actually listen.
You listen. You really listen.
Here we are, episode 9, guys. And by now, if you've listened at all, you know it's time for an Audible spot. That's right, this is my Audible spot. Right at my Audible spot. Head on over to audibletrial.com/buffumbeautiful. That's audibletrial.com/buffumbeautiful for a free 30-day trial membership and a free download of your choice. Now, they got over 180,000 Audible programs to choose from Harry Potter to some frickin' book Cameron Diaz wrote, I don't know. And the best part of it is you get to listen to the authors read the books to you on any sort of MP3 device, your iPod, your iPad, if you're a poor person, maybe an Android. You don't have to hold a book. You don't have to go shopping at Barnes & Noble's with a bunch of poor people. Audible is the official sponsor of In the Buff Podcast. And if you want to support us, you can find our donate button on our website, or you can go to audibletrial.com/buffumbeautiful. audibletrial.com/buffumbeautiful. Go on over there via that link, sign up, get your free trial membership, download the book of your choice. You're going to see how easy it is, and you're really going to fall in love with it. You know, if you like podcasts, you're going to love Audible books and Audible programs provided by Audible. audibletrial.com/buffumbeautiful.
Cocktail time.
All right, what are you making me?
Okay, so first of all, I have to give a big shout out to one of our listeners who's a coworker of mine. Her name is Michelle.
Michelle.
And she just recently was down in Antigua.
Is it Antigua or Antigua?
Antigua.
Antigua?
I hear it both ways.
I think it depends on where you're from.
I think it does. Well, she was down on this, like, her Instagram was disgusting. Like, this beach, that pool, this cocktail. Like, it looked amazing.
How dare she?
But she was nice enough to bring me back a bottle of Antiguan rum.
Ooh.
I was so excited.
She was like,
look how golden. You have to feature this on the show.
How golden delicious it looks.
And you all know we're trying to make this interactive.
Cavalier.
And I'm so glad she did this. It's called Cavalier. It's a golden rum.
Antigua golden rum.
What I like...
80 proof.
Yeah, and every, you know, like, island in the Caribbean and Central America and South America, they all, like, each country has its own rum. It's like their style.
Can I open this and smell it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It smells like vanilla and like caramel to me.
Oh, yeah. All right. Or like craft glue. Yeah.
That too.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, the native rum from Antigua. So I'm going to do a spin on like a dark and stormy. Have you ever had one of those?
I can't remember.
Dark and stormy is originally a Jamaican drink. So they use like a really dark, dark rum and they mix it with ginger beer. So it's just like really kind of like dark and like spicy a little bit from the ginger. So we're going to do like a play on that.
All right.
But with coconut and ginger.
All right.
I don't know what to call it. I don't The partly cloudy, maybe.
How about
a chance of showers?
A Hawaiian storm.
Okay, so what we're going to do, this is like a super, super easy drink to make, too. There's no shaking. There's no muddling. It's just super easy. Make it, sit by the pool, and you're done.
Mm.
So in our glass, we're going to fill with ice. Okay, so now we're going to take this fabulous rum, the Cavalier. We're going to pour 1.5 ounces just right over the ice. And then we're going to take a coconut water, just a nice, this one's all natural, organic, blah, blah, blah. Just a nice coconut water, not like coconut milk, just
coconut water.
We're going to add
this. I'm curious about, because I like coconut water with pineapple. Have you had that?
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite. Yeah. So we're going to have to see. All right.
We're going
to
see. So we're going to pour 1 ounce of that into our rum. We're going to add just a couple dashes of an Angostura bitters.
I think I went to school with a girl named Angostura.
Angostura.
Angostura Jenkins.
That's my new drag name. Angostura. And she's bitter.
Yeah, she is good.
So Angostura bitters, this is a pretty classic cocktail bitters, which is an aromatic flavoring. It's originally made from Angostura bark, so it has like a kind of rooty, herbal flavor and smell. Like, it kind of smells a little bit like root beer.
Oh, yeah.
It has that kind of spicy, herbal quality. All right.
Okay.
So it's used on a lot of classic cocktails. If you don't have it, it's not the biggest deal. You know, don't use it.
Where do you get bitters?
You can...
other than your ex-husband.
Just... most grocery stores actually carry it in the like mixer aisle.
Okay.
If not, some more specialty like cocktail stores will have it.
Does Associated Grocery have it?
Yeah, they do actually.
Oh. Well, then any grocery store should have it.
They should. So we're just gonna add a couple dashes because it comes out like a Worcestershire, you know, in the bottle. So you just want a couple drops go a very long way with bitters. And then finally, we're just going to fill this to the top with ginger beer, which is just a very strong ginger-flavored soda. It's not beer. Get a nice, get good ginger, good ginger beer. I'm not sure what the Barefoot Contessa would recommend, but good ginger beer.
Oh, squeeze a lime.
Squeeze just a little splash of lime, just like squeeze a wedge of lime into it.
Ooh. All right.
All right.
Cheers.
And that's it. Just a tropical, light and stormy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. This is good.
Not bad.
No, this is good.
You just get a little of the ginger, but the coconut kind of smooths it out.
Yeah, I've been loving the drinks we've been doing recently because they're all like, well, this has a little bit of a get you right here and get you right here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the ginger beer?
That's the ginger, yeah.
It still feels like a summery, light, fresh cocktail.
Yeah.
And that's been like the theme the last couple of weeks.
Well, that's my favorite kind of drink to make. And, you know, I'm all about especially like making drinks at home, you just want it to be pretty simple.
Yeah.
So I like to find ways of making a drink interesting and different, but easy to make.
Mm-hmm.
For you, our listeners.
That's for you, the listeners.
For you, the listener.
It's all for you.
So I thought this was kind of a fun play on a darker storm. It's just a little different, but super.
All right, go through the recipe again.
So, 1.5 ounces. Of your Antigua rum or any gold rum. Thank you, Michelle. 1 ounce of a nice coconut water.
Uh-huh.
A couple dashes of Angostura bitters. Little squeeze of lime. And then ginger beer.
I love it.
That's it.
So good. And so easy. And, you know, we want to hear from you guys. Have you made any of these drinks that we've had on our podcast? We want pictures of you drinking them. We want to know what you think. Post to our Instagram. Find us on Facebook. And
let us know what you want us to make. You know,
well, that's the best part. I love that Michelle brought you this beverage.
I know. I love her so much.
And not that you, our listeners, have to buy us anything, but send a suggestion.
Suggestions, yeah.
We love it. Now, if you are listening to us and you're in the area, the Astoria area.
The tri-borough.
Yeah, the tri-state, tri-borough area. You can see us tonight in Astoria at the Pomeroy on Dittmars. Myself and my show partner, Gina Marie, the House Mimosa, we're hosting the Best of Astoria Awards presented by WeHeartAstoria.com. And Maxie will be there as my date. And come and say hi. We're so excited. The Pomeroy on Dittmars tonight, 7 o'clock. Pomeroy on Dittmars. I'm so excited about that.
I'm so excited.
Well, this is so good. I can't.
Oh, good, good, good. And I have a pairing.
You do. This is a very interesting pairing.
Well, I don't know if it's actually, you know, good to go with this drink.
Probably not, but I won't complain.
So I found the new flavor of M&M's at my store the other day because they're trying out like fun, interesting new flavors. And this one I have never seen before. And I'm very curious about. It's a chili peanut. So it's like, I guess it's like spicy peanut flavor.
Spicy nuts.
I don't know.
Wrapped in chocolate.
But I was just too curious.
All right, let's try it. And we are quickly becoming a food podcast.
We are a food podcast.
Let me see.
All right.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Are they all these colors? Are they spicy colors? There's like no blue in there, huh?
I don't see one.
Oh, Jesus.
This is an outrage.
Can you grab that one for me? Spicy. Let's see. No, chili peanut.
Chili nut, they call it.
Chili nut M&M's.
I don't taste anything.
Maybe it'll get
See, the problem with this drink is like kind of spicy with the ginger, so it's like, no, but it comes at the end.
I'm getting it.
There's a little.
Wow.
It's a little zinger.
Wow.
Huh.
That is. The back of my tongue is on fire. Wow. I don't know if I can have this other one. So these will be great if you're on a diet.
As she puts it back in the bag.
These will be great if you're on a diet.
Because you'll only eat one.
Yeah. All right. Wow.
It's kind of weird. I would prefer it to have more
I can see
flavor.
People would enjoy it.
I mean, I like spicy food.
It doesn't taste spicy. It feels spicy.
Yeah.
It's
like you're eating a peanut M&M and then all of a sudden your throat's on fire for no reason.
Yes.
Like there's no flavor.
Right. Huh. All right. All right. They're okay.
That's all right. I'm good.
I don't need it anymore. I never thought I'd say this in my life, but I don't need another M&M.
I know.
I'm okay.
I know. I've never not finished a bag of M&M's.
Wow. How do you like to eat your M&M's?
Here we go. I just put maybe three at a time, and I put them in my mouth.
See, I like to...
Oh, here you... What do you do?
I like two on the tongue.
Yeah.
And then you melt the coating off the color. The candy melts a little bit, and then you can kind of slide them apart, like the bottom from the top. Yeah. Oh, I love it. And then you have two round discs.
That creme brulee, crackle if you leave it in your mouth a little while.
That's it. And speaking of which, have you heard about that creme brulee donut?
Yes!
Oh my god. We need to get those and try those.
We do need to get those.
Although I don't like a cream-filled donut, and I think
I don't either, and it looks really...
It's a custard-filled donut, and I like a cream-filled donut. You know what I'm talking about? Like where it's like a whipped... Like Krispy Kreme.
Uh-huh.
Like how it's like whipped... Light.
It's more
like... It's not like a pudding.
Uh-huh. Like a Boston cream.
I hate that.
You don't like that, like, gooey...
No. And I really don't like it when, you know, someone, like, brings you a donut. Here, I picked you up a donut, and it's...
And it's cream-filled?
Cream-filled. And then you're like, oh, now I've got to eat this to be polite. You know, thanks. No, people don't bring me donuts, and I'm glad they don't.
I know what to bring next time now.
Please don't.
Please do not. Please donut.
How about you don't?
Donut.
How about you donut? Yeah.
So you like this cocktail?
I love this cocktail. I think everybody should try it. Midsummer Night Storm.
Well, because Michelle, the Midsummer Night Storm. Oh, I like that, actually. Right. Midsummer's, that's kind of a long name. But
how about...
An afternoon shower. A light...
The rain's down in Africa.
I'm a summer...
There's one line in that song that drives me crazy.
Because I can't understand any of it except... I missed the rain sound in Africa.
I can't remember what the exact words were, but there's a one line in one of the verses where there's a word that has too many syllables for the line, and he smushes it in.
I can't
think of what the line is, but it drives me every time I hear the song, it drives me insane. Oh, something about it's Serengeti is the word, and he's like something, and the Serengeti, it's like he doesn't fit. Okay.
Can't make it.
All right.
Here's to you, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle. Love it, delish.
Yes.
And remember, if you want us to make a specific drink, head on over to our Instagram or our Facebook and shoot us a suggestion. It can be a specific drink or an ingredient you want Max to try to concoct into a recipe.
Yes.
And we'd love to hear from you.
And if you like any of the recipes that we've had thus far on the show, Check out our cocktail blog on inthebuff.com, our new website.
Yeah, I'm coming for you because now, since you started the cocktail blog, I'm going to try and start a beauty blog to go along with the cocktails.
I love it.
And today is the first venture into that. You're doing a take on the Dark and Stormy, and so I'm going to be talking about creating the perfect smoky eye.
Like a dark and smoky, dark and stormy eye.
Smoky eye. All right.
I can't wait. Right after this.
I know that I must do what's right. Sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I seek to cure what's deep inside, frightened of this thing that I've become.
Welcome back. All right, so what are we doing?
Makeup. Yeah.
Okay. So to team with the theme
dark and stormy.
Dark and stormy. I thought I'd talk about a smoky eye. Everyone wants to know
who
how to do a smoky
doesn't
eye.
Doesn't love a smoky eye.
I love a smoky eye. I love it. And if you do it well, I love it.
If you do it bad, it looks like you got hit in the face.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what we don't want to see. Is like no depth, one color, the same amount of like pigment all the like from the lash line to the eyebrow. Like we call those blinds, blinds, you know? So let's talk about it. To me, you can take a smoky eye from day to night and they're perfect. So you want a good primer. I love Urban Decay, has some great eye primers. There's a lot of different primers on there. Make sure you prime your eye. You can also use, like a lot of people will use a foundation as an eye primer. Now, what an eye primer does is it...
Thank you.
Yes, it helps like...
You saw me glaze over there for a second.
you gave me the eye like... so it helps, number one, color pop. It helps staying power, so it helps the makeup stay. And...
a primer, is that like... a liquid thing?
It's like, it's a cream.
Okay.
It, you know, maybe if you have like, if you're starting to get like crepe paper eyelids, like someone in the room here.
How dare you?
Not you, honey. What are you? Not you. It helps kind of smooth it out.
Okay.
So yeah, so Urban Decay has some great eye primers I love. And there's different ones for different things. So check them out. Go get a sample at Sephora. Try some different eye primers.
Return it if you like.
Right. And also it helps, you know, it helps the makeup from smearing. It helps the makeup from traveling, you know, smudging onto, you know, places
traveling.
It shouldn't
Where's
be.
It going?
Now, the next thing you're going to want to do is use a color to help blend. So usually that's a pretty neutral color. What you don't want to have happen is you use your dark color, and again, it has no depth or dimension. And so if you use like a neutral color, and I take a neutral color or even like a highlight type color and apply it from lash line to eyebrow, just fill the whole thing in with a
light.
Like a neutral color or like I use a highlight one because I'll highlight under my brow and I'll use that as my kind of blendable color.
Okay.
Then you're going to want to take, like, let's say I'm doing, give me a color. Let's say I'm doing purple.
Purple.
Okay, I'm going to do a purple smoky eye. So I'll take, like, a light purple color and apply that from lash up to, like, the highest point where I want it to go.
Okay.
Okay. And it's really important. You can get some really great blending brushes. You can, what is the brush called that I use? Like, you know, a lot of good artists know the numbers, and I am not that advanced yet. Numbers of the brushes. You can... Like, I'm using a MAC 224 brush.
Like, that's the size?
Or whatever, yeah. The label of the brush is numbered.
The bristles.
Oh, my God. Talking about the... I get so self-conscious talking about makeup because I love it so much. And because I haven't had any official training, I feel so unqualified to talk about it. But, I do it 5 days a week in my own face.
Yeah, exactly.
So, go get a good blending brush. That'll help. Because you can kind of blend out those edges there. And that's what you want with a smoky eye, is the edges of the colors to just really blend out.
Like a nice fade.
Yeah, totally.
from light to dark or whatever.
Right. So then you've used your lighter purple. Then I would take like a deeper purple, like a plum, apply that in my crease area.
Like
you and I don't have that.
Like, you know, okay.
We have those hooded eyes. So you have to fake a
pronounced
crease.
Brow.
Yes, there you go.
As my grandfather would say.
A furrow. Yes. And I'll talk about how to create a crease
illusion?
At another time. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But apply that like plum in the crease.
Okay.
With like, you know, a brush that will help pack it on. So like an eyeshadow brush.
Okay.
Pack that onto the crease and then take that blending brush again and blend it out upwards.
So it fades into the lighter purple.
Right.
Okay.
And then I would take like a black. And Ooh. Urban Decay has a really great black in their Naked palettes. I don't, you know what, I'm going to look because I have it right here and I'll tell you because it's my favorite black.
Naked black is your favorite?
Okay, so I have the Urban Decay Naked 2 palette and this is called Blackout. And it's black. It's black. And pack that into the corner of the crease, like the outside corner of the crease. And again, blend that out. And that's how you create the color of a smoky eye.
Smoky. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. I thought before I learned that it was you take a dark color and just blend it out. But that's not how you do it.
Mm.
And you can get really creative with the colors that you use. Like use a brown or like a red clay brown under
a terracotta.
Yes. Under like a black. And that'll help make it smoke out as well. Now you're going to want to make sure that you define your eye with a really good eyeliner. Again, Urban Decay has some great liners that I love. There's a...
Do you use a liquid or do you use a pencil?
Well, for my waterline, I use a pencil. And Urban Decay has, it's like called the 24/7 all-nighter something. You could probably still see it in my eye from last night, this light green.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I don't like to scrub my under eye.
That's what that is. Yeah.
I don't like to scrub my under eye because I, you know, it's so delicate. So I'm so like, delicate. If it just stays, it just stays. I got another gig tonight anyway, so we'll just pack on more later.
Pack it on.
Right. So a good creamy pencil for your waterline. And then I like a liquid liner for my top line.
Mm-hmm.
And I apply that right over the black.
Over the lashes or like on the under
like
skin?
On the lash line. So normally what I do is from the like the center of the corner, I go almost to the center of my eye.
Okay.
Okay. And then we take it from the center of the eye and pull it out.
A little. Okay, so you don't follow it down to the
I
edge.
I don't follow it down. I follow it kind of straight out. And that's just because it what works for the shape of my eye. So center of the eye and follow it straight out, not down along the lash line. And then I fill it in.
So that helps what? I mean, does it make your eyes appear more open?
For me, I feel like it does that, yeah.
With your RBF?
My already been
Resting bitch face?
Resting bitch face, yeah. My RBF, you're right. Yeah. And plus you want, like for me, I want everything turned up. And I feel like that helps create that. You want everything to look up. And pull, all angles should go up.
Awake.
In fact, here's a quick little extra tip for you. When you're applying like foundation or anything that you apply with a brush or even a sponge, I've read about brushing it upwards. So pull it up.
And that's good advice.
Well, it does create little sort of lines or whatever when you're using, especially when you're using a brush. And they may not be like super noticeable to the eye if you're doing a good job, but you want everything.
But it
to
gives
kind of
the
look up.
Illusion yeah. of
totally
upward momentum.
That's right. Now the last step is a highlighter.
Oh,
so you're gonna want to either use like a bright, glowy, maybe shimmer in the corners of the inside corners of your eye.
Inside corner. Okay.
And what I like to do is apply it there and brush it towards the outside. So.
Up, like so from inside
it's so hard to describe over radio.
Over
right?
radio.
So, inner corner of the eye.
Inner corner of the eye near the nose.
And pack it there.
Okay.
And then brush it up towards the...
Over the eye.
Color over the eyeball. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, totally. And
so that brings a brightness.
That brings a brightness, and they say if you have brightness in the center there, it also helps open your eye. And I'm all about those tricks to look my eye, making my eyes look as big as possible because mm-hmm. I have like the teeniest. Like you know, I have Asian people be like, "Wow, you have chinky eyes! Wow, your eyes are so chinky." So I like to make my eyes look as open and large as possible.
That's great. Yeah.
So those are my tips for a smoky eye. I hope it makes sense.
I love a smoky eye. You know, it's one of those styles.
It's classic.
That's classic.
Yep.
And you go out to dinner, you go for cocktails, yep. You go to the theater.
The theater.
It's just like it's nice.
Well, and what's also nice about it is you can have something very neutral for day and go right on over it with a good black and smoke that out with the right blending brush and easily go from
that
day to night.
Evening.
That's right.
Evening look.
That's right. So that's my smoky eye.
I love it.
And if you have a makeup quandary or a product you want me to test or review, let me know. Speaking of which.
Oh?
You know, last time I talked about taking that stuff back to Sephora.
Oh, yeah.
The woman at the register was such a cunt. She was such a bitch. I was so mad. I was like, I don't know what her deal was. No, well, we went out to this mall.
The fact that you were returning all of that?
I don't know. I don't know what it was. I don't know. She was just miserable. And I couldn't tell if she was miserable because of her returning stuff. Which, bitch, that's the policy, so calm down. And I'm not, you know, I talk about one of the benefits of Sephora being that you can return stuff, but I'm not someone that's buying shit and returning it all the time. Like, some stuff I'm like, well, that's my own fault. I bought it and that's it. But there's some stuff I go in and I'm like, I'm buying this to try it. And if I don't like it, it's coming back. Or there's some stuff I'll think that I'm going to love and be like, well, it's okay. And I'll hang on to it. So I'm not like, you know, I'm not like white trash there every day returning shit, you know? Like, oh yeah, I forgot to feed my baby. I need my cash back, you know? So I was just like so pissed that she was miserable to me. Oh, so miserable.
What a bitch.
What a bitch.
Unacceptable.
Ugh. And then I whipped up my VIB Rouge card, which I think I've talked about before. Have I talked about this?
No.
So you can be a member of their, like, you know, shopper. It's like a loyalty program, right?
Okay.
But when you spend an embarrassingly amount of money on makeup, you get this, like, status of, like,
oh.
Yeah. And you get all this stuff. And every time I pull out my card, it's like this big, thick, red, sparkly, gorgeous card. They're like, oh, thank you so much. And I think they don't expect like me to, a man, to walk in and be a member of. And I, you know, I walk into my sweatpants and my hoodie and like sunglasses, hair a mess, like, quick, I need some eyeliner for my show tonight, you know.
So they think you're Britney Spears.
They have no idea what's going on. Yeah, my Starbucks in one hand, babies in another. But I pull that card out when I'm going to when I'm at the register, and always changes.
Wow.
Oh, can I get, is there anything else I can get you? Would you like samples of anything? Would you, this one was just a miserable bitch, like miserable. And I was so mad about it. But I was shopping at like a fancy mall, and I think it was just.
Which mall?
Manhasset.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
I love. The
Americana.
The Americana.
Which I love because it's a strip mall and it's really nice. And I can just kind of pull up in my car and run in and do what I got to do.
Mm.
This is like beautiful, rich people. Like there's like valet.
Yeah.
Like, you know. And so I think the woman was just probably angry. She also had adult braces. So that probably made her a little upset too. So. But I was really turned off by it because I'm one of those people that goes in.
It's just unprofessional.
Well, and I'm one of those people that's probably annoying because I go in and I'm like, and they'll be like, you know, they'll start ringing me up and I'll be like, hi, how are you? And they won't say anything and I'll be like, how are you? Like, I'll stop the process and be like, how are you? Because I genuinely want to know. Like,
I need a response.
I do need a response. Like, I'm taking time, like, to be like, hi, hey, what's up? You know?
How,
like,
the hell is your day going?
And they're probably just like, let me get this fucker out of here. You know? But I'm just like, you know, it's a long day for everybody. I know what it's like. Like,
I'm surprised by that. Because usually everyone at Sephora is very hands-on.
Yeah.
That's Long Island for you.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Anyway.
And that's Buff and Beautiful.
That is Buff and Beautiful. She's not.
No,
but everything else.
Yeah, to kill him with kindness. Be annoyingly nice.
Annoyingly nice.
But really, you're just a big bitch. Miserable on the inside. Actually, what brings me joy is seeing service workers have to service me. So I'm like, hi. This is so fun. How are y'all? You know?
Seeing all of your groundlings working for you.
Yes. That's exactly right.
All right. Well,
If you like these tips.
Maybe you'll see them on a beauty blog. Coming soon.
I'm going to try. I just need to get. I have so many things going on, Maxie. I just need to get a little more organized and not sleep till noon every day. I need to set my alarm. I don't sleep till noon, but I'll sleep till like 9:30 or 10, and I feel like I've slept the day away.
Oh, yeah.
Do you feel that way?
Well, to me, 9:30 is pretty early because I work like late at night.
Yeah. No, so, it is. And, you know, for me too. Like
my husband will sleep. If I don't kind of let him wake up, it could go, he could go on forever. I don't know how long he could actually sleep.
I like how you said, if I don't let him wake up, meaning like you wake him up gently.
Well, so what wakes him up is...
I know. I got
the
an
sound
idea.
Of the Price is Right.
So
I wake up usually around 9:30. That's usually when I wake up, or that's when the cat wakes me up. So I feed the cat, I have my coffee, and I sit and I watch the news, and then at 11 o'clock I switch over to The Price is Right, which we watch religiously. We've watched every episode since we've been together. We've watched almost every episode of The Price is Right, and that's his alarm clock. So I'll turn the volume up a couple notches. And he, sure enough, wanders out. Hey, come on down.
Is Drew Carey still the host of that?
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
Anywhoozin'.
Buff and beautiful.
That's that.
All right. So, coming up, we've got some hot topics for you.
Oh, yeah. We haven't even gotten to that yet. Okay. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
okay.
I know. We're already an hour into this.
Oh, my nerves. No. Okay, let's go.
All right. Right after this.
Coming up. Oh, you sounded like Jerry Seinfeld.
Right after this.
Right after this. DragQueenMerch.com for all your Anita Buffum needs. Go there now at www.DragQueenMerch.com. Hot Topics.
Hot Topics.
Hot Topics.
So last week was...
The Met Ball.
The Met Ball. And, you know, every year there's a theme. And
oh, see, now this I did not know.
Really?
Yeah, what was the theme? I didn't know there was a theme.
Oh, yeah. Every year there's a theme. Like, I think last year or the year before, there was China through the looking glass. Because it's all about the Met's Costume Institute. And they do a big exhibit showcasing designs from the theme. So this year's theme was Manus Ex Machina.
Okay.
Which was all about kind of the intersection of fashion and technology. So a lot of the dresses were very... futuristic and robot inspired and technology inspired. And I've got to say, like, this year, I feel like a lot of people just phoned it in a little bit. Like, the dresses were interesting, but there had to be 24 silver plated robotic looking metallic dresses that were just like Kim Kardashian, like, oh, I'm a robot.
Well, I have to say, I like how the Kardashians looked. I liked how they looked.
I didn't care for Kim so much.
Well, Kim's now, face looked Kendall, weird.
Well, yeah.
Did they bleach out her eyebrows or something? She looked very, like, forehead heavy.
She was minimal eye makeup, but I really couldn't even pay attention to her because I was being creeped the fuck out by Kanye West.
Looking like Billy Ray Cyrus.
He had those contacts in that were monster, like Michael Jackson and Thriller in the very end. And he shows up like, okay, fine. Kim's in this metallic gown. He's standing next to her with a bedazzled jacket and ripped jeans and a t-shirt.
I know.
You should have heard Tim Gunn.
The jeans and the t-shirt look like Billy Ray Cyrus, my achy breaky heart.
It's a joke. It's a joke. Tim Gunn on Fashion Police.
Tell me.
Was offended. He's like, this is an insult to fashion. This is an insult to the Met, an institution of art.
I can understand that.
Well, and also, I mean, Anna Wintour organizes this gala every year. And she's known to be very strict on sticking to the theme and no jeans, no casual. Like, you will dress for this, black tie, whatever. He shows up. I can't.
Yeah.
And like, what does that have to do with anything other than it doesn't look technology to me. It doesn't look forward. It looks like post-apocalyptic.
Kinda.
So I don't know. He was definitely on the worst dressed. But I gotta say, did you see that Zac Posen dress that Claire Danes
Claire
was in?
Claire Danes. Oh my God. It looked like Cinderella.
She.
In a good way.
Yeah, I mean, never mind the technology behind it. The dress was beautiful.
Yes.
But the fact that it was hand-sewn using fiber optic threads so that when she was in the dark, it lit up.
I know.
genius.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. I mean, she won the night. She won the night. It was all over everything.
Well, here's the problem with it, though. The dress wore her. But I don't think... I'm trying to think of anyone that could wear it. I mean, it was... and I don't mean this just physically, but it was a big dress.
It was. They had to rent a bus because she couldn't fit in a car. Like, Zach Posen arranged to have her transported in a bus so she could stand and be delivered to the ball.
Could she? She can't sit in it?
I don't know if she could sit, but I mean, it was gorgeous. And I think it was great because it really. Zach Posen's already a well known designer, but yeah. I think that was.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
That was his moment now, that solidified him.
We need to talk about Madonna.
Oh.
I know.
Okay.
Here's someone who should be doing a real heavy smoky eye.
And we are both diehard fans. I think we can agree. Okay. Good fans. Maybe.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of what... I'm trying to put it into words. I have a really great respect. And... I've just been really disappointed with the Madonna of the last, I don't know, is it 10 years?
Well, I mean, I would say...
Ever since Confessions, I've been really disappointed.
After Confessions.
Yeah, I loved Confessions. Yeah.
I will agree with that. And that's the thing, like, somewhere along the line after that, I feel like she just now is trying to stay edgy and just keep up with... the kids, you know, like,
well, it feels to me like, I mean, I don't know, maybe she is being herself, but it feels to me like she's not being herself. And so it doesn't feel right.
I feel like she's still desperately trying to be young and sexy and controversial. And
but the only controversy I get from her is, should someone that age be doing this stuff?
Well, that's exactly it.
And I'm all for, like I don't feel like I'm ageist. I don't feel like...
No.
But there's some things... Here's where it is. I think that there's a little bit of a class level, a little bit of a sophistication that's not there anymore.
There's not, because it's... I think she's just trying too hard to... still be this edgy, boundary-pushing person, but she's not. Like, she's trying too hard. You know, where you have somebody who... I'm trying to think of somebody comparable. You know, think of Cher, right? Like, Cher has always been on kind of the edge of fashion and this and that, but she's always kind of maintained a certain taste level.
Yeah.
Where I think Madonna has, like, crossed that line now, and it's just like, we don't want to... I don't need to see your boobs hanging out.
Or your ass.
Or your... Yeah, like...
And
yeah,
the thing is, she's done that sure a couple times with the straps under the ass.
Yeah, she's done that before,
and to me,
too.
That's clearly, like... To me, it looks like those straps are clearly to hold it up.
Hold it up.
And people were posting about how her ass was the best, like, over, like... Because they showed Lady Gaga from behind, who had her ass covered, but she was in, like, a unitardy, like, type thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, of course Madonna's ass is going to look better because it's got two straps holding it up from underneath. Like,
yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like there's... Because, see, there's a part of me that still wants Madonna to be Madonna. The Madonna we love.
The Madonna.
And so it's hard for me to, like, even really kind of get into my thoughts about why it is the way that it is, because I don't know. Is she not?
I don't know.
I don't know. Is she listening to too many other people? Is she not? I don't know.
I think with her music, she was always on the forefront of the trends, you know, like when Vogue and all of that came out, it was just kind of on the forefront of this like poppy dance style. And then she did Ray of Light and it was a complete reversal, you know, and it sounded like nothing on the radio at the time. And then Music came out, and that didn't sound like anything on the radio at the time. And even Confessions came out, and nobody was doing that kind of disco dance on the radio yet.
Right.
So she was always on the forefront, and now all of a sudden, to me, it feels like instead of being on the forefront, she's trying to catch up with the trend. Like, she's working with, who's that producer?
Diplo.
And it's like, now she's trying to just keep up with everyone, where she... was pioneering sounds and seeking out new sounds.
That makes sense. I agree with that.
So I guess that's kind of where I was going with that
point. I agree. Now, what did we think of Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga, I think, you know, was it the greatest fashion statement? No, but...
I feel like we've seen her in it before.
But I'm just happy to see Gaga kind of going back to funky Gaga.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is like Queens. This is New York Gaga.
I love it.
This is New York playing at Terminal 5, you know, and I love that Donatella was her date.
Yes.
They were the cutest couple.
Yes.
But yeah, her look with the jacket and the unitard thing, it was just so Gaga. And those like 12-inch boots. Platform boots.
Yeah, that's totally Born This Way Gaga that we love.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they, her and Donatella were such a cute couple. Almost as cute as Marc Jacobs and Bette Midler. Our unofficial mascot, that's Bette
right.
Midler.
That's right.
She looked so cute.
Yeah, she looked great.
Because she's done a lot with Marc Jacobs lately. She's been a part of his recent campaigns, and I love that. I love that, you know, a younger designer is celebrating all ages, all sizes, all shapes. And she's just awesome. She had that like headpiece.
She looks great. And it was great to see her at an event like that.
Yeah, and there was another dress, which I have to say, my mother pointed this out to me. I didn't know this. Carolina Corcova was in a dress by Marchesa, and they teamed up with IBM to design this dress that, similar to the Claire Danes one, it had built-in fiber optics. But IBM put basically like little mini computers in it, and they were connected to social media so that anytime it was mentioned or anything about the Met Gala was mentioned on social media, the dress would light up in different colors.
Oh, that's so cool.
So like different colors were how people were reacting in happy,
IBM's doing that.
Sad, like all of that weird cloud computing. And so the dress all of a sudden would just turn different colors based on how it was being seen online.
That's crazy.
So crazy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was a lot of interesting things, but overall, I think a lot of the looks were kind of basic. Like Taylor Swift was in a mini skirt and like a cute top.
And I was not impressed with anybody's makeup.
Yeah.
Madonna, Beyonce.
Beyonce looked great. That latex dress.
Her dress last year was like amazing.
Well, you know that dress, I mean, she hasn't officially said it, but it has to be a nod to Becky with the good hair. So there's a line in Lemonade about wearing her skin and using her teeth as confetti.
I heard that.
And it's like, interesting, this is a nude latex dress with like teeth-colored pearls.
Well, pearls. And did you hear each one of those pearls was like
$5,000 each or something like that?
I heard something crazy.
Something ridiculous. Like it was all real pearls, and it was like $1 million dress.
Yeah, ridiculous.
But yeah, overall, I think a lot of it was underwhelming, but the people who really showed and did it. And I think it was more a showcase for the designers, really.
Well, I kind of feel like it usually is that.
Do you feel that? Yeah, I guess so, yeah. I mean, some people
unless you're Madonna last year, where you go and your whole costume has your new album title written all over it.
Oh,
tacky.
I think Rihanna had a moment. Like, I think the Met Ball made Rihanna like a fashion icon when she had that yellow. Remember that yellow? Like, I think it makes stars at times. But this was really a showcase of technology and designers. So hear, hear to Marchesa, who I love. They're on Project Runway All-Stars. Uh-huh. Georgina, she's a judge.
Okay.
She's adorable.
And to Zach Posen.
And to Zach Posen, who is also on Project Runway and killed it. Killed it.
I love it.
Okay, so also in the news now, I've just noticed it appears that Jay-Z
is in the
studio.
He's furious. I can only imagine.
Well,
I'm telling you right now, this is now an arranged thing.
Oh, it has to be.
To me, I had mixed feelings about it because she's such a strong woman. You know, that's our perception of her, like a strong, independent, single ladies woman, right? And I didn't know how I feel about, was she staying with him? It's like kind of a reversal of what I think as a society we're used to. I don't mind it. I think it's a good thing. I think marriages, couples should work on their issues and people make mistakes and we're all human and everything. But I think the first thing you think to yourself is Stella got a groove back and it was not a pretty sight.
Well, I think that's part of the message of Lemonade is that the album and the video, like it's all angry at first and then it's very reflective and she's, you know, looking back on everything and the good times and the children and you know, there's more than just this moment. And in the end, there's this kind of redemption and love message to it. And like now she started her tour.
Uh-huh, I saw that.
We're going next month. I can't wait.
So I'm just curious to see if this is like an arranged thing now. Like maybe they aren't really together, but they're like, let's capitalize on this.
No, they're, well, regardless, they're capitalizing on
it. Yeah. Well, I just think that that's so weird.
Well, it's like,
I think if you've worked it out and you've moved past it, it's a strange thing, I think, having to perform that over and over and over again. Like, don't you think you just want to put it to rest and it's like it's done now?
Well, I think they put it to rest long ago, whatever it was, if it ever actually was a thing.
True.
You know, I think the performance of it probably is very separate for her because it's rehearsed. It's like she doesn't have to think about it. And, oh, she's going to make hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You know, I saw a great meme the other day online. It was like, life gave me lemons and I made $400 million.
That's so smart.
And it's true. Like, and they're married. He's making money off this.
Yep.
He's going to put out an album now that's a quote unquote response to Lemonade. She's going to make millions off that too.
Right.
You know, whatever their real relationship is, who knows? Maybe it's like House of Cards. Maybe they, you know,
it's arranged.
It's arranged. I don't
know. He's gay.
He's yeah. He's he's sleeping with his security guard. Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
You know, whatever it is, they're winning.
Yep.
And also, by the way, speaking of the Met Gala, at the after party, Rita Ora, who was rumored to be involved with Jay-Z, wore a sticker that said "Not Becky."
That's so cute.
At the after party, I think is pretty hilarious.
A sticker that says Becky.
I'm Becky.
Yeah, I am Becky.
I am Becky.
Can I please? I need something that says that.
So maybe it was all made up. Maybe they're not really married. Maybe Blue Ivy's not even their child.
Well, I for sure know Beyonce didn't carry Blue Ivy. That I know for sure. Come on, you've seen the videos.
But in Lemonade, they showed her pregnant. I don't know.
She was pregnant real quick for a very short amount of time.
Yeah, it was like at the VMAs, like, I'm pregnant.
Like the cutest little teeny tiny baby bump.
2 months later, she had a child. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever it is,
I don't judge.
Whatever it is, they've figured it out.
Good for them.
And
maybe one day we'll figure it out, Maxine. We won't be broadcasting from my kitchen.
People will be deciphering in their kitchens what we actually meant.
Oh, well, guys, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for joining us. Before we go, as always, our good friend Bet is more on Twitter than ever. So we present you with...
In the Buff presents... Bette Midler, Twitter Theater.
So many murders during Game of Thrones last night. Not talking about the show. I'm talking about the 2 sleeves of Thin Mints I killed.
Joining us, guys. I'm Anita Buffum.
I'm Max Blowers.
And this has been In the Buff.
Thank you so much. Please make sure you reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is we're on. Come and listen to us.
And there's so many platforms to listen to us on. iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud.
Stitcher now. We are now on Stitcher, which is a great app you can download for your phone that brings podcasts right to your phone and streams them. And check out our new website, inthebuffpodcast.com. There we have all episodes streaming. We have a cocktail blog, and you can donate to us.
That's right.
We love this podcast. We do it for free. It's a labor of love, but any help will go right back into the production of it.
It takes a lot of money to be gorgeous, and it takes a lot of money to get drunk.
Yeah.
So come on, people.
So make sure you fund our alcoholism. So thank you all for listening, and tune in next Monday.
We'll see ya. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
Kanye, he prides himself on being a rule breaker. I have the greatest respect for that, but is he afraid to dress up? Is he afraid to do his own version of a tux? Because as far as I'm concerned, this is insulting to the event. It's insulting to this revered museum and my favorite museum in the world. I mean, let's just be blunt. He's wearing jeans and ripped jeans at that and a t-shirt. and he puts a bellman jacket over it. It's disgraceful, and why doesn't he have more respect for the event?
And I agree with you.